Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Tik 10 Fit Talmud Chulin Samach Beis Chulin 62A, paginations 123. We'll start on the last line of the page with the word Masiv, but we'll begin with a little bit of preface. We've been talking about birds that are kosher, and the number of birds that are non-kosher is really the focus of the psukim. We have a list of 24 birds, a discussion of how many birds are non-kosher, and of course it doesn't mean just one exact bird, but sometimes it's a family of birds. But we have a list of birds. There are many birds that are kosher. However, only two types are able to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. If you take a look at the facing page, the last line of Rashi, that's the inner commentary, V'hikriv min ha-torim v'gomer, when the Pasuk says that you should bring from the Torim or B'nei Yona a korban, and these words are commonly translated as Torim being the turtle dove and Yona being a pigeon. Ein lecha of kosher ela Torim ubnei Yona. There's no bird that's kosher to bring a korban except for these two types. And as we discussed in previous Masechtos, the Torim, Zvachim, Torim is going to be the older type of the bird, and B'nei Yona, the pigeon, is when it's in the younger age of that bird, and that's when those birds can be used for korbanos. You'll take a look at today's daf, four lines from the bottom. We have the word tosil. It's a different type of bird, and we're told from Rechava, in the name of Rav Yehuda, that a tosil is not in the age bracket of Torim, the older ones, but rather kosher mishum b'nei Yona. If you brought it at the age of the Yona being kosher, the b'nei Yona, the young pigeon, then it would be kosher. And the implication seems to be that the tosil shall be included in that category of B'nai Yona, and that's the age bracket, that's the type, and that's how it would be kosher to be a korban. And now we begin with the last line on the page. Masiv Rav Daniel bar Rav Ketina. Rav Daniel asks the following question. Kol ha'ofos, all birds, Poslim mechatos, will invalidate the waters of the Para Aduma. We mix the ash of the Para Aduma with this water, and now we're going to use the water to sprinkle on the person who needs to become Tahar. If one of these birds would sip from this water before it gets used for the sprinkling, it would be pasul, it would be invalidated. Rashi explains that in general, birds drink by bringing the water into their beak, and then they lift the beak up and swallow, and some of the water in the beak spills out, so that some of the water that was already in the bird, designated for it to drink, is now dripping out into the chatas water, into the Para Aduma water, and therefore it's partly water that's been used, and that invalidates the Para Aduma water. Chutz min ha-yona, except for the Yona, the pigeon, Because it sucks up the water. Instead of putting it in its beak and then lifting and swallowing and some of it drips out, this particular bird sucks it up, and therefore there's no residual. There's nothing coming back into the water that's here. Whatever was taken out by, it's not here, and whatever's left is kosher for the Parah Adumah ritual. V'im Esau, and if you're telling me that the Tosil is also in the category of B'nai Yonah, Lisni Chutz Miyonah V'Tosil, it should say the Yonah and the Tosil have this quality. Rab Zeira said, it may be in the category of Yonah, but it doesn't have that quality, this logistical quality, that it only sucks up and nothing goes back. Ze motzitz umaki, the tosil sucks, but it also, meki commonly would be translated as vomiting. It lets something out from its spit into the thing that it's drinking from. Ze motzitz ve'eno meki, and the Yonah is unique. It sucks, but it doesn't spit out. And therefore, even though the tassel is included in the Yonah, and it doesn't drink the way the other birds drink with its beak, and everything has a residual fallout, but nevertheless, there still is some sort of fallout by the tassel drinking, and therefore, it's invalid if the tassel drank from it. Now, here, as commonly in Gemaras, you learn the Gemara, it's about birds for karbanos, and the ritual of the Parah Adumah, and our first reaction is that this will have no discussion points except in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. May it be speedily rebuilt in our days, but right now, are you going to find this in Shulchan Aruch as we know it? In the laws of Netilas Yadayim, Simon Kuf Samach, Sif Dalid, Mayim Shashasu Mehem Atarnegolim, water that the chickens drank from, birds drank from, Yesh Misha Posel, some say the water is now posel, invalid for Netilas Yadayim to wash your hands before eating bread. Says the Mechaber, ve'ein devar av nir'in, and that ruling does not appear to be correct. Ela bein be'elu bein b'chol she'or bein machaya va'of, whether it's these birds you're mentioning or any other creatures that are drinking, yesh lahachshir, you could allow the water to be used. What is the discussion point over here? So the water for Netilas Yadayim before bread has to be water that has not been used. This has nothing to do with whether it was touched by people that did not yet wash their hands. The Ramah, for example, in Sif Yud Aleph says, Mishal anota yodav anaga b'mayim, if a person did not yet wash his hands and he touches the water, lo nifslu osamayim l'netila, that water does not become invalid for netilas yadayim. This is not a tumah type thing, that it contracted tumah from someone who didn't wash. That's not what's going on here. What's happening over here is it has to be water that's not shofchin, that's not fit to be spilled out because it's been used. And we need to know if this water has been used or not. So, for example, a concern would be if a person washes out their Kiddush cup and that water is used to wash the Kiddush cup, and then he spills that water into the washing cup. For those of us who wash after Kiddush, which is the fairly common practice, that water has been used. That's a problem. That cannot be used for Netilas Yadayim. But if the water has not been used, the fact that someone touched it is not going to invalidate it. And so we suddenly understand what it is that the Mechaber is bringing some were concerned about. Because we learnt in our Gemara that when these birds, not the Yonah, other birds, drink, they drink in a way that they have used some water that is now back in the container. Says the Mishneh Berurah, the reason the Mechaber argues and allows it is the dafka beparas chatos nefselas b'malacha koldehu. Because when it comes to the para aduma water, we have a very specific protocol. Even the slightest usage is going to invalidate the water. But over here, we're not as intense in the restriction of used, and such a level of water that it went into the beak and was designated to be drunk by the bird, but it didn't end up getting drunk, that's not called work in our context of Netilas Yadayim. And also, says the Mishneh Berurah, Nisbatlu b'ta'aruvasam b'ruba, it will become nullified in majority. So as long as it's only a minority amount that got spilled back from the beak, it's going to be fine. And therefore, the Mechaber argues and says, Ein devar av nirin, yesh lahachshir. I don't see the need to compare the case of the Gemara Chulin Samach Beis to the case of Netilas Yadayim. The Mishneh Berurah concedes, b'shesias kelev v'chazir, if a dog or a pig drank from the water, paso mishomios, then that water in that cup would be forbidden for Netilas Yadayim. It becomes disgusting in our context. Okay, we'll stop there. Yeshe koach for joining.